This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. I start off with a little anecdote. I don't know what happened. I think I went to sleep. I fell asleep on Saturday and woke up the next day, which should have been Sunday. But for some reason, I thought it was Monday. So luckily, before I hit the hay, I got all my things ready for today's program, and I couldn't figure out where was everybody. I called the studio, nobody was there. I called the numbers I had for folks at PRN, and nobody was answering. I said, what the heck is going on? And then I called a very dear friend of mine. I said, what day is this? And he said, well, you know, it's Sunday. I said, oh, my God. No wonder nobody was around. I woke up thinking it was Monday. That's how long I was sleeping. And it was, in fact, Sunday. So I know not to do that again. Don't fall asleep on a Saturday for long sleep. When you get up, you think it's Monday, but it isn't. It's still Sunday.
All right. Donald Trump spent much of his presidency moonlighting as an incubator, building his personal and business brands and his family's personal fortunes. No doubt, being president was good for business and favored individuals' bank accounts. But it wasn't long before the veneer of the stable genius, as he called himself, began to wear off under blistering criticisms over U.S. domestic and foreign policies. Early in his term, the tide began to change. Trump was turning out to be quite a letdown. So we'll take a look at when things started to change, since he's almost out the door now. What happened? What did people seem to come to realize about Donald Trump? And we should do that taking into account how he has handled his re-election bid, his conduct and behavior. What does it tell you about Donald Trump, if anything? Frankly, I think Trump is not just a simple study, and it's not so much just Trump. It's how people, I mean, people in high places, people with lots and lots of experience, how they just simply just kowtowed to this bully and allowed him to get away with the most outrageous behavior and conduct. What accounts for that? Even now, people are afraid to take him on. And you wonder, how could one man, exercise this much control? Now, history has taught us that it isn't impossible at all. One man in Germany had all of Germany under control, and much of Europe. By his behavior, by his beliefs, by his actions. But how in the United States, where you have all these different aspects of government, and they say nothing, they don't fight him tooth and nail, nobody makes declarative statements, They all just can't seem to get out of his way and bring whatever it is that is supposed to come to an end soon, bring it to an end. They don't interfere. They don't interject. They don't really lambast this person who is the president of the United States. What is preventing them from being far more involved in putting this one man insurrection down? 888-874-4888 is the number to call. In a sense, what we'll be talking about is how does a person get to be a despot in the United States? We haven't seen this kind of an extent of bullying I'm at the loss for words. What kind of person is this? How did this happen? What happened to our so-called democratic systems? Why aren't they working, or why didn't they work? What is the answer, in your view? 888-874-4888. Who's up? Ed from Jamaica is on first. Okay. Ed, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Yatrice. How you doing?
Okay. It's Monday, and I know it. Okay, so then we all safe.
Somebody's got it in for you, I think. They're giving you a hard time. trying to suppress your voice. I'm kind of tired talking about this guy, but to be totally honest with you, he is not the main topic as far as I'm concerned. He is a culmination of degradation and a lack of civility, a lack of honesty, a lack of fairness, and the accumulation of injustice. He's the personification of all the corruption of the past 40 years. And we have a crisis of conscience in this country. We have a crisis of morals, and it's represented by our national leadership. And the reason why he can prevail so profusely is because he's surrounded by thieves and criminals. A criminal can't indict another criminal. He is the manifestation of it, but the weakness of character, the lack of justice, the amount of corruption that has passed through higher echelons of government through the past 40 years, my opinion is that they can't hold him to task because they themselves are just as corrupt as him. They just disguise it better. He's blatant with
it. It were only that, I could understand that argument that you're making. But the whole nation seemed to be in the same of the same mindset. Nobody really wanted to take him on. Nobody wanted to hit the streets and say, no, you're not going to be a czar here. You're not going to be an all-important leader in this country. You're not going to steal our systems of governance. You're just not going to do that. We're not going to permit that. Why didn't that happen?
Because, like I said, the nation is compromised. It's a prevailing feeling, as far as I'm concerned. It's a prevailing understanding that, you know, I got to get mine, screw you. There's no great movement of brotherhood or a connected struggle of fidelity, of fraternity in this country. Everybody's wrapped up in their own personal dramas, and they all want what's best for themselves, which is partially human nature. But you can't have a democracy. You can't have an active government if everybody's just caught up in their own focus. If there's no openness, if there's no exchange of ideas, if there's no free exchange of thoughts and open-mindedness to different scenarios, to different modes of thinking, you're going to wind up with this. You're going to wind up with polarized points. You can't even have a decent conversation about politics or points of view anymore. political parties don't have platforms. Everybody's got an agenda, and the agenda is self-serving. And this is what we get. We get a Donald Trump. We get an administration that is only concerned about itself. We get an administration that uses the baseline of our instincts, fear, prejudice, the institutionalized racism, and spends them to their benefit. The country is morally depraved, and it's a unit. It's nationwide.
Bill from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Patrice, and to everyone in the audience today. And first of all, you're not alone about these lapses of waking up and wondering what day it is or where you are. I think it's a national malady. I mean, we sort of a Groundhog Day effect somewhat, if you remember the movie, because the same thing happened to me a few days ago. I woke up and I thought I was in a completely different day. So I think it happens because of the lack of our normal routines, you know, all of this remote working that's taken us off our normal schedules and has led to a number of issues that also involve depression and just malaise and everything else. But I'm with you.
It was so disconcerting. It was so disconcerting. I'm saying, where is it? What's going on here?
Exactly.
Only when I called a friend and said, I don't understand what's going on. It is Sunday. It is not Monday.
Right. And so regarding the topic, Ed was completely right. There's just a lack of moral fiber right now. And actually, part of the weekend I spent watching on WLIW, a PBS show that is titled Fascism. And it's quite timely because it clearly depicted how fascism arose in Europe, you know, starting with the beginning of World War I and the rise of Mussolini and Adolf Hitler. And I think the catalyst here for present day in the U.S. In terms of the crisis that afflicted the folks back in the 1920s and 30s when it was war and depression. But here, most recently, I think that catalyst was the election of Barack Obama, where people, you know, were so afraid of losing control and power. And so you've had the rise of this person in the form of Donald Trump that was you know, listening to all of those fears and magnifying them tremendously. And so that's what we have here today. And fortunately, it seems to be a moment when there's been somewhat of an awakening where we're coming back to our senses. And in spite of Mr. Trump's flailing about, it looks like he will be escorted out of the White House. But one thing that crossed my mind just last night in seeing how, like you said, he's definitely a bully and a tyrant and a wannabe dictator is I hope this doesn't happen, but I think Donald Trump might start his own political party. I mean, you know, he's already indicated that he's going to run again or wants to. And I really don't see the Republican Party lining up behind him. There are a lot of very qualified people who are in the lineup who want to, you know, present themselves to run for the president the next time around. And, you know, I don't see them just rolling over and letting him sort of steal their thunder and their moment in history. So those are some of my thoughts.
Well, I think you have a very strong point there, but you never know. This may be, from Trump's perspective, an opportune moment to do something as outlandish and daring as that, to force a cleavage.
Yes.
In the body politic, to say, look, if you're real, if you're truly dedicated, you will, you know, come along with me. And
right.
That would him. I don't think he wants to run a party as such. It's too much work. It's too much work. He's not a guy interested in too much work. He likes flashy stuff. He wants things done fast and with great drama. But the nuts and bolts of running a party, he doesn't want to take on that. He just doesn't want.
I agree.
You have a very strong point there. I agree with your point and your observation. But we will see. That's all we can
do. Yes, we will.
And in the meantime, probably enough people within the party now will have a moment to reflect where they're going if they are supporting Donald Trump. And maybe they would say, nah, I don't want to go that way.
It is a true moment, a true crossroads for the Republican Party. Not that I have any liking for them, but it really is a time where they have to decide what their future is going to be. You know, if it's going to be, you know, hitching their wagon to Donald Trump and all of his craziness, or forging a new path that's you know, more palpable for the larger public.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in and contributing. Thank you. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
You know, I've been thinking about this, and what's getting to me is that, I mean, most of the people here are on the illusion that those who lead and the people have a democracy. As far as I'm concerned, you can't really have a democracy and run an empire. And the United States is functioning as an empire that wants to really run the whole world. So if you're thinking that you're going to get democracy in the system we're having, that's an illusion, because it cannot happen. What is happening is that you have the small ruling class that runs from these two so-called parties, and you have no other parties that are viable, that serve the interests of the people who live there. That's the masses of people. So people have to get it through their heads that this whole system is not a democracy. It's a quasi-democracy. You have some voting, but the real power is in the hands of the people at the top, the oligarchs and the plutocrats who run the place. So we have to make it clear to everyone, because you're not going to get it in the media and in the schools that are run by those who rule, about what we really have. So that's the situation that has to be clarified for most people, so we can make the type of change, whatever it takes, by any means necessary, to have a system that is functioning in the interests of the people who live here. And this system does not function in the interests of the masses of people who live here. And
so
that's an important thing to get across to people.
So therefore, what is it that you will confront the Democratic Party with? What is your rationale?
Well, we have to confront the Democratic Party on a number of levels. First of all, the Democratic Party is a ruling class party run by the ruling class people at the top, and it has a really very little interest in the masses of people. Now, at certain times, it has masqueraded at a level to get people thinking that it was really interested in the masses. But those are tactics that are used to make sure that you disempower people by giving them those necessary bones. And those necessary bones certainly started, as I remember, during the 30s and the Great Depression and whatnot. And as we've gone along, those bones have been taken back. The unions are disempowered. The People have basically been disempowered. The ruling class has solidified its position by enriching itself, as we see by the great wealth that has been accumulated by those who rule, and the reduction in income and wealth by the people at the bottom. So what I'm saying is that people have to get it through their heads, first of all, that you just can't say democracy, democracy a billion times and think you have it. First of all, we have to understand we don't have it. And those who rule are ruling us and manipulating us for the interests of those at the top. So that's what we have. And expecting decency and all those things, that's illusion. They don't care anything about decency and human rights and that sort of thing. And their tentacles are all over the world. And the people are easily manipulated to the point where they don't understand the system they're living in, and the signature a method of controlling the people is working like a charm, and that system is divide and conquer, and the ruling class is very good at that. Divide and conquer. That's how you control people, and they're doing it in a wonderful way in their own interest to this very day.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in and contributing. 888-874-4888. Who's up next? Okay. 888-874-4888. We're having trouble with a very uncooperative system here. It's decided it's not going to work. But we're just going to go through it. It will work eventually. But it is a glitch that we're dealing with, and we're managing to deal with it, all right? So the question is, where we are now as a nation, what accounts, what do you think accounts for the fact that one would imagine that with the level of dissatisfaction, generally, this would not be tolerated? Donald Trump will not be tolerated. The clear indication that a system is in charge and it is not necessarily responding to the masses of people and the troubles that they are having at this time. Nobody seems willing to compel a reversal of that attitude and those actions. Why? Nobody seemed compelled to challenge Donald Trump and where he has taken the nation as a whole, not just Republicans, but the whole nation. So something went wrong. What was it or is it in your view? 888-874-4888. How is it that this whole nation just calmed down and just sat on the sidelines watching and waiting to see how things would turn out, taking a total leave of absence, it seems, from hands-on involvement in the political outcome? How is it that one guy and his shenanigans, his outrageous actions, not to mention illegal actions, managed to keep people still and excited when he wanted them to be excited and on the move when he wanted them to be on the move. But the masses of people just kind of stood by waiting to see how it would turn out. Sharon, you're on the air.
How you doing? Good to be talking to you. You know, I think is the reason why nobody seems to be challenging him. This is the big wigs, the politicians, so forth and so on. He seems to me like he's voicing opinions, bigotry and his racism and just hatred and craziness is how people have been feeling, but just haven't had the guts themselves to admit. And that's definitely true with the politicians. They would love to get out there. For instance, in the old days, you had your George Wallace's and so forth, who would say the first thing that came into their mind, and they were allowed to get away with it. But over the years, all of that is kind of, you know, with the phrase politically incorrect, people are kind of afraid to, even if they feel a certain way, they wouldn't have outright behaved that way or voiced a certain negative opinion. Now they figure, well, our negative opinions are being voiced and we can blame it all on him. We don't have to do it. So, and it's the only thing that I can think of, because it doesn't make sense that no one over the last 4 years has bothered to put a stop to him. You know, his craziness is unprecedented from what I can see in American history. So I just think he's doing what everybody else would like to do, and they just don't have the nerve for it.
But would it happen on such a level, such a widespread level? Okay, E from Edgewater, you're on there.
Hello, you treats.
Hello.
Yeah, we're having a lot of trouble with the phone here. I hope you can hear me.
Yes, I'm hearing you.
All right. I just wanted to bring up a point. A few years back, a famous wrestler ran for governor for Minnesota, became the governor of Minnesota, Jesse Ventura. Now, he was a professional wrestler, you know, the fake wrestling. Now, when he became governor of Minnesota, he didn't continue to behave like a wrestler, like that he was in, you know, his career. He became a governor of Minnesota and acted like a governor. But Donald Trump, who had a TV show for 12 years called The Apprentice, then he became president. He kept his same format. He kept behaving the same way, like a wrestler. So that shows me that he's acting. You see, don't they give actors awards, Emmy awards?
Yes, I think so.
Didn't Andrew Cuomo just win an award that they give to actors?
I think so.
Yeah. So they're not even making it a secret. They're putting it right out in our faces, and we're still not getting it. We're choosing to believe their lies, and this is why we're in this quandary, which, you know, we have no choice, really. But we should at least understand that this is a game that's being played on us, and we shouldn't take it all so serious that, you know, we can't figure out why. It's, you know, it's obvious, like David from Brooklyn is telling us, they want to have us under control and all confused and totally not knowing what to do next. And this is what it seems to be is happening.
All right. So let me ask you, what do you think you should do next?
That's the golden question. What do you do next in a situation like this? We're all quarantined. We're all under, like, martial law. I don't know what to do next. It's really hard to figure out a proper plan for what to do next. We just have to go along with it, but try to keep our sanity and understand that there's strange things going on that can't be explained. So we shouldn't just take the surface story that we're getting from the local news as facts. We should look deeper. If we're the progressive radio network and we're the audience, I tune in because I don't want to hear the stories from 2, 4, and 7, what they're telling. I want to know deeper. I want to know what's really going on deeper. That's why I listen to you and Gary Null's show and a lot of other shows on PRN, because we're going to get a deeper explanation.
Okay.
All right?
All right. Well, thanks for calling in and contributing, E. Good to hear from you. Gwen from New York, you're up next.
Hi, Therese.
Hello.
Hi. I just wanted to chime in and add this, that I think that for me, it's a game, and I know it's a game, and I've always known it's a game, but I don't feel better when people call up and say that. And I don't feel better and not take them seriously either. It's like, if you don't take this pandemic seriously, you could end up dead. It might not be an organic pandemic. Might not even be a pandemic. But it doesn't mitigate the fact that it's dangerous, whether it's man-made or whether it's, you know, organic, it's still dangerous. And that's my point. I think that a lot of people called when I was very panicked about what Trump was doing, was trying to move the government into a coup so that he could stay in office longer. Now, just because it didn't happen, just because he wasn't successful, doesn't mean that that isn't what was going on. And it's still going on. He's still out here lying. He's still telling people, and he's still trying to convince people. So whether you think it's a game or whether you don't think it's a game is irrelevant. It is real. Whether you like it, understand it, it's real, and it's something to be very careful of. Donald Trump you should be very careful of, because he has the keys to the car. He is the head of the military, the most mighty military in the world. If he wants to drop atomic weapons on Iran, he can do it. And there's nobody that can stop him. And that's why I'm not satisfied when I hear people say, well, we've wrapped this up with a nice bow. It's a game, and you really shouldn't take it so seriously. I think that people that don't take these things seriously should take things much more seriously. It doesn't mean that because they're charlatans, they're fakes, they're criminals, that we should not. As a matter of fact, that's why you should take them even more seriously. I mean, essentially, you had a four-year-old running the White House. And to me, it was a very, very serious situation. And I'm not saying it's going to be any better under Biden, but I just think that I'm tired of hearing that, I'm a wise guy, so I know they're playing a game. Like, it's ridiculous. We have to figure out a way of getting in front of this thing. We have to figure out how to get control of our government again. And it's very serious. But while we're getting there, we should also take these people that are playing these so-called games very, very serious, because it could end up being a game that could hurt us very badly.
Just so you know, there's a lot of interference on your phone.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Did you get anything?
No. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Got everything you said, because you came through nice and strong, but there was a crackling that never did go away, and it was noticeable.
Wow. Okay, well, I know this phone gets tapped every once in a while, so happy crackling. Crackle, snap, and pop.
Okay. Thanks for your call, Gwen. Thank you. 888-874-4888. What accounts for the fact that one person, everybody had some kind of view of Donald Trump, whether good or bad, but they had a view. And as time went by, they were able to refine their view. And you wonder how it is that with all of that going on, Donald Trump also was doing his thing. He was running his own separate country within the country. And we didn't see a groundswell of opposition about that, to the point where you could correctly say there was no opposition, little to no opposition to Donald Trump. How did that happen? Who's up next? Oh, Sharon from Jersey, you were cut off. You're back on. Good to hear.
Oh, okay. And I'm not going to hold you up real long because I know other people want to talk. And what had happened, my phone ran out of battery. But anyway, what I was saying, because I'd originally said I feel like no one's stopping him because there's these feelings that people have had probably for decades that they were not voicing, but now he's given them a voice and they're not afraid to come back out. And I was mentioning this area around here, which I was, like I said, I was surprised to see some of the attitudes that many people seem to have. I'm going by, like I said, signs out in your yard, signs on your cars. I have worth pertaining to the environment, social issues, sweatshop abuses, the economy, fracking, this, that, and the other. I've been around New Jersey, New York. We've gone to Washington, D.C., so forth, so on. And, you know, years ago, people would kind of pat you on the back, you know, for taking a stand. But in this day and age, it seems like, from what I see around me, they seem to be offended by that, and then they become hostile. They might be harassing. So the only thing I can think of is that all along people have had these hatreds or, you know, whatever their problems are underneath. They just didn't feel like they could voice them before, and now they're using this idiot to do it for them. And that's all I have to say.
All right. Thank you, Sharon. Hope your phone works. Hope your phone works for the rest of the day. I mean, thanks for calling. Thank you. 888-874-4888. We're coping and we're hearing you. Who's up next? Okay. You have to really ponder the question because we're not seeing it in the sense that the country has actually gone through a transformation without, you know, all the bells and whistles associated with it. But the country has gone through a transformation and continues to go through a transformation. Having seen that overwhelmingly, I mean, there was great encouragement for the Trump administration from the way people chose to react, not with great resistance or anything like that, but in fact bolstering the view that he was the right man to come along at the right time and is doing the right job, even though that isn't exactly the case. But it was important that people believed it. And so we have now a burgeoning, a groundswell of opinions that those who had not voiced an opinion before because they figured it was too right, they are getting more and more encouragement, even now, that they should step forward and stand up for what they believe in. Okay, you're on the air.
Being cold, but anyway, to answer part of your question, one of the callers said that yes, they're viewing a lot of these politicians and a lot of people are now feel free to say every nonsense that probably they had hidden before. But my mind goes back to the first debate. When he had, there were 2 days of debates, and he was able to eviscerate just about every candidate on the stage with one little thing. He said, "You bowed down at the altar when you wanted money, and now all of a sudden you're attacking everybody who wants money." And I think he really has something on all of these people who asked him for money. They were coming by parades into New York City, into Trump Tower. And I have the feeling that he has something on everybody. I'm talking about the politicians. And they don't want to be discovered for their hypocrisies. When he talked about the swamp, he was the swamp. And he was dealing with the swamp. So he figured, well, the only way to keep them quiet and the only way to keep them in the corner that I want them in is to make sure I remind them every so often that I have the goods on them. So I think he has something on every one of these people who say the least about Ted Cruz, Lindsey Graham. The people who were the most vocal against him seem to be in the choir of Trump. So that's the only way I can understand what's going on.
Okay, but how does that explain ordinary people and the groundswell of support that continues to grow?
Well, I think that fault lies in the fact that the Democratic Party really hasn't addressed the principles which they said so many years that they espoused. They let the unions fall. They didn't address the concerns. He's a master showman, so he was able to capitalize on all of that, regardless of the fact that he's a con artist. And those of us in New York knew he was a con artist from way back, but the rest of the country only knew him as The Apprentice. And he spoke to things that hit home that the Democrats never, you know, sort of took for granted and never bothered to address. And then everybody else jumped on the bandwagon. So they took one grievance and made another grievance and added on and on and on. And now it's the Trump show. And if there isn't anything on the opposite side to counter it with sincerity and with truthfulness, he has the show. He has basically everybody in his pocket. He can continue on. I don't think he's going to continue on to 2024, but he can continue on for now to whether Mitch McConnell controls the Congress or not, the Senate or not, he will still be able to control them from the background because he's going to tweet himself into oblivion. He'll have an audience. He'll still have an audience for a while. I mean, unless he comes down with another vote of, another COVID relapse. But he'll have an audience.
Well, you raised a very, very important point, and that is he marketed himself, and then the Democrats reacted in the worst way. They kind of remained quiet, as if to say, if we don't talk about it, it won't exist. It will go away and, you know, we could get back to our normal lives. But by ignoring the issues, by delaying reaction, they basically gave him all the room that he needed because he was alone. He was alone out there. He had everything to himself. And they made a very serious mistake. I think you made a very, very good point there.
I think the Democrats acted in the elitist way that he portrayed the Democrats. The Democrats acted in a very elite way. Well, we'll ignore him because he's not important. No, you can't ignore somebody like that. You can't ignore the issues. And rather than going after him on every issue, they should really have gone after the issues that people are concerned about. The Reverend Barber, people of that ilk, talk about the bread and butter issues that people are concerned about every day. They're not concerned about the Supreme Court. They're not concerned about the Senate even. They're concerned about who brings home the bacon and who is concerned with them. And the Democrats completely went off the reservation. They just didn't address it. And that's where he came in, and he said, I can capitalize on that. I can grab that and make him think I'm one of them, when he was never one of them. He was never.
And,
all these people are being fooled by him because he's not acting in their interest
at
all.
The media did the media.
They were complicit.
Very happy.
They were complicit.
Yes.
Yeah.
They got a lot of viewership or readership or what other kinds of metrics that they were waiting on. They got it.
And every broadcast, if you notice, every broadcast starts out with what did the president tweet today? I mean, did it really, really have to go that far? Of course, you don't ignore everything he says. If it's a press conference, fine, but a tweet? Every single broadcast started with a tweet, regardless of who it was. So that captures the attention of a lot of people as opposed to substance. There was no substance.
Well, we have to, at
being
some
covered,
point,
yeah.
Not today, we have to take on that very topic. How did media outlets fail in this whole season, election season, to give us Trump, not only as a great alternative, but as a winner. That's what they did. And they all were part of it for the most part, and they have to answer for that too. Thank you so much, Mary, for your call today. Thank you all for your calls today. We weren't the only ones experiencing connectivity problems, but we managed to muddle through, and that's great. That's great spirit. I admire that. Let's talk again tomorrow, being Tuesday. I will be up, and I'll be aware that it is Tuesday. But thank you so much for calling in and being part of the program today. I get a big thrill when I listen to you because you teach. You may not be aware that you are teaching, but you're teaching by giving us access to your innermost thoughts and your analyses. You're teaching. So I thank you for being as open as you have been and continue to be in sharing your thoughts. It's a very private process, I know, but I am always gratified by your willingness to just share your thoughts with the public. Thank you so much for that. It says a lot about you, and it also says a lot about what you think of the station, the program, and those people who interact with it. Let's talk again tomorrow. Bye-bye.